They are very smart. They are the top men in that game. I said, you know their problem? If they did not do what they did, once it's a publicly traded company, they will have been fired. Why? Forget everybody sitting down and saying, these are people. You know, American justice system to me is not justice. It's vengeance. There's a difference. No, I'm sorry. I've observed it. American justice system is not justice. It's vengeance. That's when we are angry, we will find a way to put you in jail for life. The man's case went to Supreme Court, American Supreme Court. And they ruled that his crime was not, that you couldn't kill him. What happened was that he raped a small girl repeatedly. The daughter of his girlfriend. Do you understand? Huh. And it was such a gruesome crime. So the jury, the prosecutors, the judge, the jury all agreed to give him the death penalty. So he was found guilty. And then they gave him the death penalty. Except that nobody died. He did not intend to murder anybody. And nobody was killed in the process. Therefore, as far as the justice is, there was no justification for the death penalty in their justice system. Maybe scriptures, it will have been okay. Under Jewish law, they will kill you 7 times over. I'm looking at an issue here. But everybody was angry. I mean, even to me, when I read the story, I was angry. I felt like killing him. Except that he didn't take any life, and the laws of the country would not allow you that death penalty, apart from the fact that you kill somebody. That's what I mean. Sometimes people are angry. It's vengeance. They're just angry. You know, we just want to punish you. What you did is so bad in our hearing. There's no reason I'm saying this. When you look at the financial things that happened then, my wife and I started analyzing it. I said, this is what they are sending to jail. People say that, send out the CEOs to jail. It's not right, except that they are scapegoats. You know what the scapegoats are? All right? You are going to jail on behalf of the rest of us. Every shareholder, every man who trades stocks, all right, should go to jail if you send those men to jail. Do you know why? Because they sat down and it's all about money. It's all about money. Stock market in Nigeria crashed recently. Look at it objectively. It was supposed to crash. It will crash. Men regulating it knew it will crash. They were just trying to get as much money before it will crash. It's all about money. What am I talking about? So you see those banks, those MDs knew what was wrong. They knew what would make the bank solid and what would make them solid. But if you sat down and said you wanted to be solid, you wouldn't declare profit. If you don't declare profit, share price goes down. If share price goes down, but you know, shareholders get angry. When they get angry, they sack the whole board and you go with it. So men, you know, they succumb to the pressure. That's why this is my gospel. If you're a Christian, you start a company, please don't take it public. That's my opinion. Somebody can disagree with me. You may have reasons and you may be correct. But this is my opinion. You see, anything God gives you is your responsibility to keep it. He gave them the garden. He said, guard it and what? Keep it. The laws don't allow you, except you want to break the laws, to keep that thing the way you will want. Once it is a public company, it is a public company. And if everybody gathers and says we don't like the man who started it, they will fire him. Do you get my point? Steve Jobs founded Apple with some other people. They fired him one day. A man he hired fired him. It was when Apple began to have problems that they brought him back, sold him one share, one. Like he was only, I don't know about now, but then he had only one share in Apple so he could come back as the CEO. He and one other person founded a company from the beginning. Yet one day, they looked at him and fired him. And I guess he took his spirit away with it. Then the company went down. Microsoft finished them. Now, but are you getting my point? He said, guard it and do what? And keep it. Whatever you do in life, make sure you have guard over it and you're able to keep it. That's my own. Like I said, maybe some people have more revelation in the realm of economics. They can do their own differently. But this is what I think. Okay? I'm not getting an issue here. I'm talking about the spirit of the age. Talking about that. So you see, these people who go out there, they are driven by one thing. I'm talking about righteousness, now the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God principle A Christian is not to be driven by gain. That is, there are times a Christian will look. I know this is loss, but we have to do it. Like Jesus said at the time, he said, "Will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour?" He said, "But for this cause, I came to this hour." Americans are shouting, the economy, the job creation is slowing down again. Other stories. I laugh. I'm not a bigger an issue here. What they did is that because of the spirit of the age, you exported all the jobs. Then you are complaining that there are no jobs. I don't know what I'm going to explain. Because of the spirit of the age, that the company must declare profit. You exported all the jobs. Then you settle down and start complaining that there are no jobs. And listen, nobody in those societies, nobody is innocent. You know what I mean by nobody now? The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. Everybody, that is just a system. And this is the kingdom of God. That's what I'm getting to. This is the righteousness of God. There are times a Christian will know that this makes more money. This makes less money. But righteousness dictates that I do the one that makes less money. Because for me, it is not about money. It's about something else. And business, there are many motivations. There are many motivations. I gave the example of two people, which I believe those were the spirits. That was the spirit of God working in both people. One, Henry Ford. The second one, Mary Kay Ash. I've used their stories a lot of times. In both situations, each person said that this success of this company is just to prove a point. That this is the right way to do business. Are you getting my point? When Henry Ford started trying to make cars, they told him, big cars make more money. Because only the rich can afford cars. And you make cars for the rich. And then they will buy it and you will make money. And he said, no, I want to make cars for the middleman and for the poor. Everybody should be able to have cars. That's the reason why I'm making these cars. In fact, Henry Ford had a rule, all right? He never used to borrow money from banks. Because as far as he understood, that the bankers existed only to make money. And they should realize that money is a tool of business. It's not an end in itself. To him, money was just the same thing as buying a screwdriver. You can't buy a screwdriver so you can make more screwdrivers. You get what I'm explaining? So he had the rule, no borrowing of money in this company. He said, because when I borrow money from them, they want to tell me how to run my business. So the man never, one day, borrowed money once Ford Motor Company took off. He said, no. That if all I can make is one car, and that's how he started. I will make one, I will sell it. Make the next one, and sell it. One that have enough profit, I will make two. And that's how he began. Now, I'm not even got an issue. His own, when the company did so well, he said, the success of this company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. He said, but it's my way of demonstrating that my principles of doing business, which were different from the rest of the people's, my principles are right and theirs, all right, are wrong. When he wrote the book, Miracles Happen, all right, she said that I first wrote this book many years ago, maybe like 20 years before that. He said, but after writing it, that's on the principles of marketing, how to treat your customers, how to treat your colleagues at work, and how the company should treat the workers. After working for many years and retiring from sales, she wrote that little book. But she said to herself, nobody is going to read it. Because it's written by nobody. Are you getting my point? That if nobody wrote this book, why should anybody spend money buying it? Therefore, I said, okay, what I will do is, first of all, let me put the principles into practice. Are you getting me? Then when I will have done that, they will see it work, then I can make them adopt my principles. So he said, okay, what do I sell? She was not into cosmetics. She was just looking for something that can be a blessing to people that she can sell. Then she remembered one of her friends who said her father had some formula, all right, that used to keep skin young. So she now went and approached the family, bought the formula from them, and began to market it so as to keep people's skin young. The company was never about skincare. It was about business principles. Skincare products were made so as to demonstrate the righteousness of those principles. What am I saying? What differentiates the Christian businessman, the Christian attitude towards prosperity, is what I'm talking about. What differentiates it from that of the world are the things we are discussing. That is, it is not for us about money. It is not about I have, somebody else doesn't have. It's not about now I can eat better. No, no. That's why we don't just take the whole thing and throw them away. When people who didn't have understanding, because like I told you before, one of the major things that I dislike in today's preaching of prosperity is the motivation that we preach to Christians on why they should give. This afternoon, I'll say it in the book I wrote, all right? I've not finished it, titled, So Who We Pay For This. So I was looking at those things again, that this is the thing I am talking about. One of the reasons is because any thinking person will know that this is not the principle of godliness. When you say the only reason why you give is so that you can get, it is obviously not the principle of godliness. You don't need to be thoroughly educated in spiritual matters to know that is not the principle of godliness. It is the principle of selfishness. Are you getting my point? So for that reason, those who thought, who used their minds, who thought very well, especially good Christian people, they said, no, this cannot be Christianity. So they bundled the whole thing. So if you come with any gospel of prosperity, they throw it away. But I'm preaching to you today again that, listen, the gospel of prosperity is good. Did I hear the amen? The gospel of prosperity is correct. I want you to be persuaded that God indeed wants people to prosper. It is not God's perfect will that people should not. You see, what about Paul? There are times he went through affliction. Yes. And he stated it clearly that this is my being sacrificed on this altar of your faith. That I'm going through all of this so that I can help you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? For example, I have children. There are things my wife would love to do. There are things I would love to do. But which we have understood that because of the children, the time is not yet. A lot of times I travel, maybe I'm invited to go and preach somewhere. My wife says, can I come? I say, you got 4 kids. It's simple, she understands what I'm saying. You have to stay at home with them. She'll have loved to go on the trip with me. Okay, maybe stay like 3 days, stuff like that, whatever. I said, not yet. Are you getting my point? That is, you are making sacrifices. There have been times that maybe wanted to go somewhere. I just touch one of the kids in the morning and the child is febrile. That's the plan for the day changes. Somebody must stay at home. Those are sacrifices you make for certain reasons. So when you discover, I told you the day we went to Cross River and drove from Calabar all the way down to Obudu. So, crossing the whole country, you know what I mean? When I saw the jungles, I respected the white man that came to evangelize. When they say, white man should pay reparation, I said, you should pay your own duty to them. By the time you finish calculating, you find you are owing. They are not owing. He said, they came to plunder. Please, thank you for the plundering. May God bless you for plundering. And if you can come back for more plundering, you are welcome. When you stop plundering, we got into trouble. What am I saying? When I saw what men went through to spread the gospel, some of you, maybe you came from the north, and then you stayed only in Enugu. Just travel to go for one funeral in a village, somewhere in Anambra or Enugu or Imo State, where they never tower the roads. You know what Mary Slessor suffered. Now, people do those things, all right, as a sacrifice for the work of God that they are doing. That's what I'm telling you about the righteousness. In Christianity, people have told me a lot of times, if you go abroad, you make more money. I said, listen, there's a geographical will of God. I was telling you about it earlier. I exist for the will of God. I just don't go to place because there's money there. Because there's apparent prosperity there. I was talking to someone the other day, somebody said that, it's about joy. I said, it's not about joy, it's about the will of God. You had better learn how to find joy in the will of God. And not find joy in Nepal, not the quench light. Are you getting my point? So I was saying that there's something about Christianity. It's the principles behind what we are talking about that must be different from that of the world. Like I was saying when I asked that question, that God said, the Paul was teaching, that those who want to be rich, who are running after money, the Bible says that they are piercing themselves through with many sorrows. And that the man with an evil eye is the one that runs after money and does not understand that poverty will come upon him. Poverty. I saw that in the scriptures. I said, Lord, how do we now balance this with the fact that you bless those that you loved and that pleased you? He said, one, they went after the money. The other ones went after the will of God, and whatever it is that God gave to them was a blessing. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added. Any wealth that comes to you, not as an addition, is a curse. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. Whatever he gains in that process, he says, the bread of what? Sorrows. May God place you in a place, and that's what we're discussing, getting your mind ready for it, that God will put you in a place where you will prosper by his addition. The Bible says, so he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. You know, I was telling the story about Mary Kay Ash. I've told this story so many times. If you've heard me for 1 year, you must have heard the story at least twice. In one of the chapters in her book, she described how you can't outgive God. Go and read that book. Miracles Happen. Usually they don't sell it in bookshelves, so it may be difficult for you to find it, all right? Yeah, they just give it to their salespeople. Now, she described how, let me just make the long story short, how one day her son came and said, this is my friend, invented one method for prospecting for oil, and I think it's very good. The guy is very smart. Her son, so I think she put money in it. And she put money and forgot. And then one day, for those of you who know the story, you know, I don't have time to go over it, but one day, the son called her and said, Mommy, why is it that everything you put your hands into turns to gold? And she said, what are you talking about? He said, remember that investment with my friend? He said, yes, I do. He said, they started yielding this month. Your share in the proceeds in the first month is over $100,000. This was after she just put herself into one pit, needing $100,000, about an hour before that. What am I saying? It became what? An addition. I've looked at this world. That is the things happening these days. They'll tell you about poverty here, poverty there. Listen, poverty in the world of today is more a spirit than ever before. I'll explain what I'm saying. They said there's crisis now in part of Northern Africa that is down to middle, all right? Chad and Co, you know, Somalia that are involved, all right? Parts of Sudan, and there's a famine, and they will show children that are starving. Except that a few weeks ago, I saw on TV that as of today, put together worldwide, one third of all the food produced in the world is thrown away. Did you hear what I said? That one third of all foods produced on the earth today is wasted. And we're not even talking about poor preservation. We mean a man will take an apple, bite it, look at it, and throw it away. And there's nothing wrong with it. Listen, let nobody tell you that God doesn't want people to prosper. Let me tell you something. God wants you to prosper. Listen to me. I will prove it to you in a moment just by telling you what's going on in the world. God wants you to prosper. Did you hear what I said? God wants you to prosper. Listen, walk with him. Don't make money, material things your aim in life. But one day you will look and you will wonder that what begat me all this wealth? You will be richer than your ability to conceive it ahead of time. You know why I'm saying so? It's just the character of God. I was telling you last time, the Bible says that he makes all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. You know, God does not manage. I'm going somewhere. Do you know that countries that God has blessed today? My friend in America said, Black, the number one reason I threw away milk is that I bought another one. I told you the time I went for a course in the U.S. And you don't know how quickly you learn the bad habits. The day I arrived in Lagos, my wife and I stayed. My wife came to meet me. We stayed in the hotel the first day before we now came left Lagos. And in the morning, I took sugar that she bought and tossed it into the dustbin. I stayed in the U.S. for only 6 weeks. I didn't know when I tossed the sugar into the dustbin because we didn't need it again. To an average Nigerian, you smoke? And my wife looked at me and said, what is that? I said, but we are checking out now. She went to the dustbin and put that sugar back. What's wrong with you? I said, sorry. He said, listen, my friend, you have come back home. You have come back home. This is not America. Why? Because that's the way Americans behave. That's just their life. I remember when I was living where I stayed, the last thing I did was to empty milk, Sprite, things I bought into the sink. That I'm going now, nobody's at home, so I have to lock the door. So bring the gallon of milk, into the sink. Ma'am, the big bottle of Sprite I bought in there, into the sink. Apples that are not eating, grapes, add them to dust me, pa, pa, pa. And it's normal, it's no big deal, Oh, half chicken that are not eating into the dustbin. Like, you know, it was nothing. And you know the point, I did not think about it. It was when I got home that I wanted to continue the habit. And my wife woke me up, said, wake up. Look around, this is Nigeria. I said, sorry, ma. My friend said, when he and his wife first got to the U.S., his wife gained 20 pounds in the first 2 months because she couldn't bear to throw food away. So when he wanted to throw food away, he said, no, leave it, I'll eat it. So those who the men said, no problem, eat it. After 2 months, she stood on the scale. And I said 20 pounds because I'm trying to be conservative. I think we're not at 30, but you know, I like to just be sure I don't exaggerate. And she said, okay, I hereby receive the gospel of throwing food away. And her weight went down. I said, what does it mean? Listen, it costs more to transport that food to somewhere else than to buy it. That's why they do that. I'm telling you how God can prosper a whole nation. A whole nation. So don't let it be like, you know, let me tell you something about prosperity. One day I thought about it. I want to tell you that God can prosper people. Do you know in the days of Samson? Now, first, I don't know about you, but you enter my house. The problem I have with the suits I have and the clothes I have is I don't know who to give them to. Most people don't wear my size. Those who wear my size, they don't want my used clothes. Do you get my point? In the days of Samson, when they wanted to bet his clothes, he said, okay, you will bring 30 garments. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You will bring... Samson had to kill people to get, to get their clothes. That's poverty. But this day and age, no. A man who thinks he's poor has many of them. And he just, his own problem is that this one is not Italian. This one is from Asia. When I have some money, I'll go and buy Italian suits. That's the issue right now. Because God has prospered the world in the area of raiment. Go and read the story, the time of Samson. To pay bride price, na cloth. Betting, na cloth. So you bring two agbadas if you win this bet. Look, listen. Part of our problem, like I said before, as well as Africans, is our mentality was capped because of a curse that was placed upon Ham and his descendants. So that when you see a person, once he buys one car, buys two, and builds a house, he actually feels superior to a man who doesn't have. It's a poverty mentality. It's a mentality of poverty. Imagine that rich men gather and one ate 3 times a day and is feeling superior to the one who ate only once a day. Can you imagine? That means a crazy thing. So if any man is still feeling superior to another because he has more cars than he has, you should know that one is crazy. You should know he's crazy. He has never been blessed. He has never seen wealth. Look, some of the gospels we preach, they are born out of the heritage of poverty. You know, I've been saying it. One of our friends, one day we were talking, one person I know in this town, said he traveled abroad. So they asked, what job do you do? Said he's a hotelier. So they thought that he owned a chain of hotels. How many you get? Say, okay, two. How many rooms? You want to get 20 rooms. The other one has 15 rooms. My friend, get away from there. You are talking, and you are talking as if your name is Sheraton, or what do you call them? You know, Hilton, you know those things. Like, so I thought the white man actually, when he heard that he's a hotelier, he thought that his mind went to intercontinental chain of hotels, talking about Hilton, Sheraton. What are the things I am thinking about? And I said, the guy built 2 houses for Enugu, called them hotels. He was so angry. I'm not even got an issue here. See, that's because we are not used to what God calls abundance. That's what I'm saying. We're not used to it. Like I say all the time, the black man didn't know how to count in millions. Who will he count in millions? Yam? As long as you are using a hoe to make those mounds one by one in a whole lifetime, you and your children, and with all, I know you married four wives, though, you and your children can never harvest a million yams. Tubers, no, you can't. So a man who makes 200 hips in a day, they have a name for it in Yoruba, they say Akogba. That is a man who made 200 hips. Meanwhile, Algy Lotono, we do a machine like this. Choom, that thing we drive for 5 minutes and make 2,000 hips. That's prosperity. He could harvest a million tubers in one season. Because he will sit on a tractor, turn the key, and pull the plow behind and drag it. And be making tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. In fact, just be making the heaps for as much. If you want the whole earth converted to heaps, he will do that. And he wouldn't get arthritis at the age of 45. They say, black man used to live very long. It's a lie. They looked very old. They didn't live long, nothing. In case you did not know, your grandfather used to marry at the age of 18. Think it's now that you have to build her before you marry. Those days, when the papa look and they don't find her wife, what is his thing? So you see, the boy is 19, his wife is 14 and a half. By the time he makes his from the age of 16, all right, by the time he's 50, you think he's a grandfather. He too sits with a red cap in the village, and my brothers. He's been having children for so long and making his for so long. You think he's old? What if the white man came and just took everything away from them in one day? I'm talking about God's concept of abundance. A lot of people preach prosperity. Say, if a man preaching prosperity, and look at my suit. I'm wearing an Armani. Once he says no, it's coming from a heritage of what? Poverty. If you can brag on the clothes you are wearing, you live in the days of Samson. Days of Samson. Look, sometimes you know the other day they said Nigeria was owing money. Let me tell you what they call abundance, so that you will get angry. They say Nigeria is a rich country. Amen. We are rich, amen. But not that oil. Don't look at that oil. That's not what we're talking about. When I say Nigeria is rich, you know what I talk about? Is you. You I'm seeing is the reason why Nigeria is rich. Because I know if God puts grace in your hands, there's nothing you can't produce. That's what I mean by Nigeria is rich. One day, okay, that time we took a trip from Calabar to Obodo. One way coming, I took a taxi from, that took off from Obodo to, I think it was Boko. Then from there, I took another one to Enugu. So on the way, that was my first time coming that way. Something happened and I said, God, this country is rich. Now, I'm trying to explain what I mean by Nigeria is rich. I saw a young boy carrying hot roasted yam in the traffic. I quickly bought one from him and I saw a lot of them. I said, yay, this country is rich. The sea industry, that this young boy is there, he's not begging, he's not stealing, he's farming and, you know, roasting the yam and selling. I said, this man is industrious. If God blesses him, he can achieve a lot. That's where I'm going. So when I say we are rich, that's what I mean. When we are finished rolling back all these curses that's holding us back, you'll be amazed at what we can produce. We are rich. Nigeria alone can boast of 50 billionaires counting today's dollars. We are rich. God will make all grace abound towards us so that we will produce so much that counting millionaires won't be a big deal for us that time. We are rich. Now that we have settled that, let me get back to where I used to get angry when some people who don't have this perspective say Nigeria is rich. once they asked President Obasanjo then,